You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast. This message was recorded live at our Manchester campus. We know this is a great investment into your life. So tune in, listen up, and stay focused. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com.
Ah, it's good to be in church, isn't it? Well, hi to everyone online as well. If you don't know me, my name's Pastor Keith, or in Rwanda, they call me Pastor Keat. Pastor Keat. And everybody who went on mission with me also now calls me Pastor Keat. And it's a very honourable title, which I love. So yeah, we're going to be getting into week three of the series, but I just want to give you a little update of how Rwanda went. Is that okay? So we got back on Monday, me and 10 guys from church, from different campuses, we went to Rwanda on mission. It was amazing. It's really hard to describe it. Sometimes you say, oh, did you have a good time? And you're like, I don't know if that is how I would describe it. It's not a good time, but it was amazing experience to serve God, to serve the church. I love the fact that our missions work is working in partnership with local church. We don't just go and do random things and come home and just hope that some good has happened as a fruit of it, but we partner with local church. And every single person that I met in the village, in the community where I were, shook me by the hand and asked to say thank you to you. Because they know Nkuru Nziza Church, which is Rwandan for Good News Church in Chabitanzi Village, partners with Audacious Church in the UK. And as part of your generosity and giving in the Vision offering and in other offerings, we were able to supply them with food during COVID. And every person I met looked me in the eyeball to say, thank you, you saved my life by sending money and food to help provide in that situation. So, which is amazing. And as part of our vision offering, we also paid for health insurance for over 500 people in the village, which they would not be able to have and have access to medical care. So I've got a few photos. I don't know if they've been up already of us in Rwanda. They're coming up now. I need to stop looking at the back because you can see my bald head. Let me just cover that up. Anytime I look that way. There we go. That is us, the team. We had all kinds of activities. We did, there's Natasha, her and her husband Jonathan, our doctors, and they ran a medical clinic for a day where they saw 82 patients who queued up for hours, who hadn't seen doctor for years. It was amazing and also extremely frustrating of trying to help get the right medical care, and it's exciting to build with them into the future of how we support the village with their health care. We did visitation to their houses. We took food parcels into their homes, which was extremely humbling to come face to face with such extreme poverty. And we went to visit one of the widows in the church who didn't have any chairs, but she laid out a sheet onto the floor in her reception room, which was this big, and put a sheet down for me to sit on and greeted us as we took her food and we got to pray with her. And it was incredible. The team did an amazing job. We did kids clubs. We did, it would make Sarah sweat unnecessarily because we did a kids club for 300 kids and 600 kids turned up. It was incredible. We did a couples seminar. Bear with me. I saw it on the agenda. We were down to do a couples seminar. I was like, are you sure that's what you want us to do? But the cheeser, our lead guy there, he was like, look, we got 98% women in the church. We need some men. And so they were very aggressive in their strategy of saying, we're doing a couple seminar, but you're only allowed to come if you bring your husband. No husband, no entrance. They had bouncers on the door and were literally turning people away unless they'd brought the husband. And me and the team were like, none of us are marriage experts. Sure, if that's what you want us to do, I can do another kids game. No. You want to do a couples seminar. So, like, if we get 10, that would be awesome. Like, there was only about 5 or 6 men that we'd seen in the church on the Sunday. Like, if we get 10 more, 10 new guys, that would be amazing. And we'll, I don't know, talk about marriage and pray for them. That would be great. And when we turned up, there was 150 people there, which then grew to 200 as more people kept coming in and coming in. And it was amazing. All these guys, some that we'd done a football tournament with and some that we'd visited in their homes, came to the church, and we talked about what God had done in our marriages, and it was amazing. And we had an altar call at the end for who wanted to join the church, guys, which was amazing. And Pastor Martin, the pastor there, he went for it. He was like, I see that hand, stand up. He got the guys to stand up. And then he got 30 guys who'd responded to come to the front to say that they were going to support their wives and join the church and be a part of building God's kingdom. It was amazing. We had to pull out all the emergency chairs, and there were people sat on each other's knee, and it was this kind of awkward moment. It was the couple seminar was the highlight of the week. I mean, it was amazing. Please find any of the team that have been on mission, because there's loads of stories. We had a baptism in the pool of one of the team, and everyone has come back changed with perspective and with a passion for building God's kingdom. And it's absolutely awesome. We're going to be going back to Rwanda next year. So please consider being a part of our team. We're going to go on 8 missions next year. But I'll tell you about that another time. We want to get into this third episode of At the Table. And I've heard from the podcast from Paul and Pastor Mark talking about the wedding situation with tables. And it kind of made me think about, I don't know if you've ever had this awkward moment where you've been at a wedding and the ceremony happens and you go through to the dinner where there's the seating plan. It's normally got tinsel around it and glittery fairy lights. It's like, sometimes there's like a choir each side of it, as you approach this amazing document that's sparkly and glittery, and you're kind of a bit nervous about who you're going to be sat with. As long as I'm sat with someone that I know, it should be all right. But I don't know whether you've had that moment when you come to the seating plan and you're not on it. Anybody ever done that? You're like, just check it again. Where? Check the invite. And you have that sinking feeling that your invite is only to the evening do, not to the afternoon meal. You slowly kind of back away. No, I was just seeing what their ideas were for the table decorations. No, we're going to McDonald's. And you kind of edge out back because there's no room at the table for you. And it's quite hard, isn't it, when you're having your wedding to try and remember everyone and fit everyone in. And there's always someone that you have forgotten, or you've just got a budget and there's only so many seats and you've got to prioritize Uncle Bob. And yet that awful feeling of not being invited to the party. But when we look at the table, that's certainly what God wants to speak to us about today, is that we have to have an extra seat at our table. I'm going to say that phrase a few times today, and I want you to think about having an extra seat at your table. Because the problem is sometimes we can get our table really full, and Pastor Paul and Pastor Mark have been challenging us over the past few weeks about having significant relationships in our life at our table. We want to have godly relationships at our table. We need brothers and sisters in the faith that are going to encourage us and spur us on and help us make those decisions when we're in suffering. We want our life-giving relationships around us. We want leadership at the head of the table. We want to have leaders in our life that can give us perspective and share to us. However, if our table is so full that there isn't an extra seat at the table, then we miss the point of what Christianity and what church is about. When someone at work might say to you, can we go for a coffee? Can we have a catch up? Because something's going on and I just need someone to talk to. Wouldn't it be awful if we replied with, oh, sorry, I've got life group tonight. I'm going to small group and this is the time that I do it. And well, tomorrow night I've got worship practice and, I've got to practice all my songs for Sunday and get this right. And on Friday, I've got my car booked in to the Christian mechanic. He's really good and I know that he won't rip me off. And I can trust him, and he kind of says some blessings of my car, Beretta, and that's really helpful. But then on Saturday, you see, Karis is going to cut my hair. She is, amazing hairdresser and a holy lady who's going to speak in tongues over my hair and potentially, believe for miracle growth. And our table can be so full in our Christian world and our Christian circles. Good, godly relationships, leadership, helpful situations, amazing hairdressers. But actually, we miss the point that we're called to be salt and light in the earth. Romans 10 says this, our key scripture for today. Romans 10:14 in the Message version says, how can people call for help if they don't know who to trust? How can they know who to trust if they haven't heard of the one who can be trusted? And how can they hear if nobody tells them? And how is anyone going to tell them unless someone is sent to do it? That's why scripture exclaims, a sight to take your breath away, grand processions of people telling all the good things of God. I love that last bit. I have a vision of Audacious Church leaving this building, going out into their workplace, going out into their homes, going out into their friendship groups, going out to their football team, going out into the world, grand processions of people telling all the good things of God. Let's not be so full at our table that we don't have an extra seat for someone else. I don't know if it's like this at Christmas, at your house, or when you're having someone round for a meal. If somebody else comes, we can kind of get the emergency chairs out and you kind of move the cutlery down, and there's always room for one more. And we'll kind of make it go a little further, and we'll spread the food out, and we'll do an extra tub of gravy. That was northern, wasn't it? We'll do an extra tub of gravy for visitors like. But we want to be a table where there's always room for one more. Jesus was amazing at this, right? Jesus lived on the earth, and he had the most important mission of all mankind. He was focused on the cross. He was born and he grew and he was focused on the cross because he has a job to do. To die on the cross at the right time in history, to live a perfect life, and was incredibly focused on this. And it would have been easy for him to just kind of get the disciples round and like, this is my crew. And, you know, they were all different and varied and they had different perspectives and they were there for him. And it was this kind of strong group. It would have been easy for Jesus just to stay with his own guys and people that didn't get him. You know, we're just, you know, the Pharisees, they're like, they don't understand me. You know, they don't, I'm the Messiah. I'm right here in front of them. And yet they're still holding to a completely different value system. I'm just going to stay with the disciples because, you know, I've got a job to do. I've got God's work to do. Me and the boys, let's go on a retreat. Let's stay at the mountaintop. Let's kind of, you know, have another prayer meeting and get things going. But Jesus was passionate about living out the good news, living out the gospel, living out what he was dying for. The whole purpose of what he was doing is so that everybody could hear the good news. So as Christians, as the church, as Audacious Church, we have an assignment. Our assignment is to be salt and light. And the way we be salt and light in our worlds is to have an extra seat at our table. The first seat that Jesus had is that he had a seat at the table for his peers. So the Pharisees were actually, in one respect, Jesus' contemporaries. They were religious leaders. They were looked to for leadership and spiritual insight and as a connection to God. And like I said, it'd be easy for Jesus to ignore them as his rivals or his competition or someone without that. But as we see here many times, in Luke chapter 7, 36 to 50, we hear an account of Jesus going to the house of Simon the Pharisee. He says, one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, so he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And so this is the same language that we hear Jesus reclining at the table with his disciples. So this wasn't for Jesus to do a preach. This wasn't for Jesus to do, you know, I'm going to show them what for. He was actually in relationship with the Pharisees. He went to Simon's house and reclined at the table with them and ate with them. But the rest of the story, it's not just amazing that he was there, but he lived that good news life out in front of them. They were sat at the table eating. And what the Bible describes as a sinful woman came into the room. And for all the Pharisees' life, they would have a perception of what a sinful woman is and how you treat them. And they were uncomfortable and kind of, what is she doing here? And then right in front of them, Jesus allowed her to come down and wash his feet with her tears and her hair. This was a shocking thing. The Pharisees had never seen anything like this. Everyone's murmuring and chatting and, you know, we're just talking about football and politics and then this thing has just happened in front of us. And they're all murmuring and going on. And Jesus does the amazing thing. He doesn't judge her. He doesn't send her away. He's not, Pharisees are here. Just come back. I'll talk to you later because these guys, they won't understand. Right in front of them, he prayed for her and forgave her sins. He treated her as an equal. He lifted her up. He got rid of the stereotype and the social boundaries that would separate her. He put value into her. And she left a different person. And then the chaos ensued. All the Pharisees were like, what the heck has just happened? And it's this great scripture that it says, all the guests, not a couple of the guests, all the guests said, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And just in that simple action of living out the gospel of good news, of forgiveness, of acceptance, of reconciliation right there in front of them, Jesus shared the gospel of good news with all his peers. He didn't preach. He didn't tell them what they had to do or had not to do. He shared the gospel in action and in deed. And that is our challenge, guys. In our workplace, you are not in your workplace by chance. But actually, there are people in your workplace that need to see the gospel in action. They need to see the difference that Jesus Christ can make in our lives. And we have to see our workplace, our friendships, the families that we interact with at the school gates, these places of influence that we have, along with our peers, whether it be a social group, like, we are there to be the gospel. It's not just for the preachers to preach. It's not just for the zany evangelists that are kind of like that. It is for each and every one of us to live out the gospel in front of our peers. And do you notice what comes after that is actually one of the most famous verses in the Bible, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." That came about because one of the Pharisees, Nicodemus, had been eating at the table, saw how Jesus lived his life, and came to see him at night to go, What is this? What is this good news? What is this gospel that I've seen? And Jesus got to explain the gospel. He said, "This is why I've come." And that came from living out the gospel in front of them. And this is our challenge in our workplace. I've been in many workplace situations. I worked in a theatre company where it was extremely intense because I was living in a house with my work colleagues. And so I had no choice other than to live out the gospel in front of them. And it's an amazing experience to share the gospel with your work colleagues and then right down here in the altar get to lead one of them to Jesus for the first time, which is fantastic. But there's other seats where we need to have an extra seat at the table. I want us to think about having an extra seat at our table for our family. In Matthew 8, 14, Jesus came to Peter's house and he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. He touched her hand and the fever left her and she got up and began to wait on him. Sometimes we can be guilty of treating our family the worst. And we can have time for everybody else. And we can be at all our events and yet forget that God's put us in our family to actually be the gospel for our family. And we have a responsibility more than ever to be the one that shares the truth, that lives out the truth and shares the gospel with our family. We also need to have an extra seat for the vulnerable and the marginalized in our society. It's what the Bible says true religion is, to look after widows and orphans in James. And Jesus did this all the time. Mark chapter 2, while Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. But when the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with the tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It's not the healthy that need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but call the sick." Jesus helped those in need. There's loads of examples. While he was on the way to the cross, he stopped. Repeatedly, he made space for the Samaritan woman at the well. He made time for Zacchaeus and went to his house for tea. the woman caught in adultery, he made time to offer her kindness and forgiveness. Example after example, the man with leprosy, again and again, Jesus focused on the cross, stopped and made time, made room, and had an extra seat at his table. I guess that's the challenge, isn't it? Our table is full. Our table is busy. We've got kids' clubs. We've got football training. We've got small group. We've got worship practice. We've got work. We've got homework. We've got study. We've got our godly relationships. We've got our family. But Jesus was the perfect example, who had that love, had that group of guys, that table of foundation of faith, but always, always had an extra seat at the table. And I guess that's our challenge today. Imagine a church that always has an extra seat at the table, that always has room for one more. It was amazing yesterday to have host a friendship festival where we welcomed over 1,000 people that have relocated from Hong Kong to the Northwest. And as a church, very busy diary, lots of things on. But when the opportunity came up, we're like, scoot down, move the cutlery a little bit. Let's try and make this work, because we've got loads of people that are alone in a new city for the first time and maybe aren't connected with other people and don't know where to go for help. And we said, right, you scoot down, go up in the loft, get the emergency chairs down, and we'll come and we'll make space, because as the church, this is our job. This is our job, to reach out and help the vulnerable and the marginalized and those that need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. We want your table to be strong. We want your table to be full of godly relationships, but we also want your table to have an extra seat so that we can live out the gospel, the good news, being salt and light in our world. Imagine if everyone in this room and everybody watching online had space for one person. Imagine what our church would look like in 6 months' time if that one person could come to faith. Imagine what your workplace would look like if you could lead one person to Jesus for all to see. Imagine what our city would look like if the church stands up and reaches out to the vulnerable and the marginalized and actually lives out the gospel by helping widows and orphans, those that are vulnerable.
Thank you for listening to this Audacious podcast. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com. We'd love for you to join us at one of our campuses, Manchester, Chester, or online every Sunday, 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.